WBGO listeners, this is Jay Johnson with All Things Soul. As you know, today we have a very, very special guest. I am very excited to bring to you a man who needs no introduction to WBGO, Mr. Felix Hernandez himself. I am over the moon thrilled at the opportunity to interview Felix Hernandez. I think I count myself among his top 10 fans in the world. Been listening to Rhythm Review now for decades. He's been on with WBGO for 37 years. Felix, thank you for joining us on this show.
Thank you, Secretary Johnson. I am honored to be on your show. First of all, I want to congratulate you on All Things Soul with Jay Johnson. It's a great addition to WBGO. I'm honored to be among your esteemed guests. We went all the way from a past president to now you have a future president on your show. So you've run the entire gamut. And also, I wanted to correct you. You are not one of the top 10 Rhythm Review fans. You are, I would say, top six.
Okay, thank you. Top six. Some four people just got offended.
You're working very quickly toward that five spot, though, I have to tell you.
Well, Felix, we all listen to your music every weekend. First question I have for you, you've been at this a long time, but how did you develop your taste for R&B music growing up? I know you grew up in Philadelphia. How did you grow up? How did you develop your taste?
That's an interesting question. I often ask myself that same question because even though I grew up in Philadelphia, I split my time between South Philly, which was my urban experience, and a small suburb about 3 miles away from the edge of the city. The city half of my growing up was diverse. I was exposed to all kinds of music, all kinds of people, whereas my suburban half of my childhood was pretty limited. It was a working class, kind of conservative environment where people my age really did not listen to R&B at all. I mean, I was one of the few people among my peers who even knew Otis Redding or The Temptations or Al Green were. I mean, Al Green might have been a little bit more popular with my age group, but as far as R&B groups and artists that you hear on Rhythm Review, it was pretty much unheard of for a kid like me in that suburb to be so attached to that music. But I think it comes from my urban background and having spent so much of my time in the city and having friends and peers there, even though I didn't go to school with those people. I went to school with the suburban kids. I did have my strongest friendships with kids in the city. I called them my weekend friends, but I saw them every week.
Right. How did you get your start in radio, Felix?
I started in college. I went to Temple University in Philadelphia. I'm sure you know that institution very well. We have a lot of great people who call Temple their alma mater. And I joined with was at the time one of the great jazz radio stations, WRTI, which I was very lucky to have access to. Not that it was easy getting in. I mean, I spent almost a full year auditioning to get on that station, but nothing was going to stop me. But once I got on, I think I spent more time at the college radio station than I did in classes during my years at Temple. But that's how I got my start.
That's how you got your start. And how did you come to WBGO?
That was a long road. I mean, I spent the first few years after college working as a radio journalist. I didn't really get a chance to go back into music for a number of years. I tried, but I was able to get some work as a journalist freelancing in the Chicago area, especially working for WBEZ there in the early 80s. I was doing five pieces a week for years, so that took almost all of my time. There was really no time left to do anything else professionally anyway. But once my wife and I was married by then, moved to New York in 1985, I got a call from Wiley Rollins, who at the time was the program director at WBGO, and somehow he had heard of my work at WRTI in Philadelphia years before. And he wanted me to join the station. So I did. I thought he was going to want me to play jazz, but he wanted me to play R&B. And I was thrilled. Not that I would have been unhappy playing jazz. I probably would have been just as thrilled. But to have been offered a show dedicated to music that I really loved and grew up with was the greatest break that I could have gotten.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Right.
Again, that happened in 1985. It took a while to develop the show. I didn't want to get on the air with it immediately. I wanted to make sure that I had understood the audience, because I wasn't originally from the New York area. Even though I had traveled here quite a bit as a kid, I had family here. I didn't really know the market and had to learn which songs, I mean, if you want to be really specific, which songs the New York audience listened to in the 60s and the 70s. And I did a lot of homework. I did a lot of research. I collected the old WWRL radio surveys. They used to give away the weekly surveys at the record shops. I was able to get my hands on a lot of those. WLIB surveys, WNJR, which was the Newark station back then. And I saw the songs that they were playing on those radio stations back in the 60s, back in the 70s. And I said, oh, okay. So I had my work cut out for me, and now I had to go find the records. Because right. This, don't forget, this is years and years before the internet had all the music available. So I had to go hunt these records down. And slowly but surely, I was able to put together a pretty decent collection of music and get the show started by the end of 1986. So that's how it began.
Do folks in your business, specifically classic R&B radio hosts, do you all know each other nationwide and follow each other and learn from each other? Or
I can't speak for others, because I'm probably the youngest right. of that group of people. To answer the question, no. I mean, I did not really know other people that well. I had spoken a few times on the phone with Frankie Crocker, a wonderful, wonderful individual, and we all miss him very much. He probably the greatest of the R&B radio personalities here in the New York area. Hal Jackson, I worked with for several months at WBLS before he passed away. But other than that, no. I mean, in Philadelphia, where I'm from originally, I grew up listening to and eventually met and worked a little bit with Jerry Blavitt. But others like Harvey Holiday, Georgie Woods, I never met them.
Interesting. So let me ask you about the content of your show. I put the music that you bring to us in two or three different categories. Category one is stuff I grew up with, that I listened to in the 70s, the 1980s, the 70s specifically, when I was at Morehouse College in Atlanta. And then category two of things that you play are things that are similar, of the same artist from the same period, but I never heard before. In other words, sort of the back of the 45, so to speak. Or that one piece on the album that I always skipped over, whatever.
Right.
But then I hear it on your show and I say, wow, this is really terrific. I hadn't heard it before. Or there are also things which to me are a really special category. Music, and I play some of this on this show, that I heard, but then I forgot. And you bring it back to me. It's always special. And
I call those the oh wow songs.
The oh wow songs, exactly. And you do seem to have a different flavor with each show. But I've also noticed that over the period I've been listening to you now for over 25 years, the music you play has evolved somewhat. If you were playing 50s in the 90s and you were playing 60s in the early 2000s, I notice every once in a while you try to drag us into the 1990s, perhaps. What's your methodology, Felix?
There's no methodology. I mean, I just do simple math. Most of my listeners are now in their 60s. So people in their 60s, when they were teenagers, it was 1970, 1975, 1980. I'm now the same age as most of my audience. So I base what I play now on what I was listening to as a teenager. Whereas 30 years ago, I was playing music that came out before I was even born.
Right.
So, right. I mean, that's the methodology. There's really not much more to it than that.
It's sort of a roll forward effect.
Right. I do still play an occasional 1950s classic, but it has to be classic, classic. For Your Precious Love by Jerry Butler. No, I'm not going to play Collegian by the Copacetics because no one in my audience now is going to know that record.
What you're trying to say is that you really kind of moved on from the doo-wop era.
Pretty much, yeah, I would say so.
Right.
I mean, I'm not thrilled about that. I mean, I love that era. I love that music. But to sustain a radio show in today's competitive marketplace, not so much, you know.
What about in terms of energy of the music? You've got some fast paced, you've got some more ballads. How do you settle on that?
That's trickier because that really depends more on the mood of the day. If it's a day like when we got all that rain and it's kind of gloomy, it's summer, but it's cool outside, then I'd go for perhaps a more of a relaxed, laid back approach. But if it's a spring day and the air's beautiful and crisp and people are outside doing things, then I do it up tempo. I get people moving and dancing. It depends on a lot of different factors, the weather, right, the time of year, whether or not it's a holiday weekend. That has a lot to do with it too, because usually on holiday weekends, people are gathering as families. They have cookouts going on if it's summer. So I try to set a mood for that kind of environment. So if you're out, I picture people out in the park on a Sunday if it's summertime, a beautiful day in the summer, and I'll play Groovin' by the Rascals or Summer by War, those kinds of songs that just feel like being in an outdoor environment on a beautiful summer day.
Groovin' on a Sunday afternoon. Do you see as part of your mission and your objective bringing the younger generations into this genre of music?
I'm very conscious of that. And I think I've had some success with it. But what I've found, and what's funny, and I don't understand it, is I gauge a lot of who I think is listening to my radio show based on who's coming to my dance parties. A couple of years ago, I started a dance party called the Retro Soul Party, where I'm playing exclusively older music. So it's 60s and 70s. That's it. Nothing past the disco era. So it's Motown, it's Stax, it's Al Green, it's that music, 60s and 70s. But you would think, okay, you would think that you would get an older crowd for that party. I'm getting a younger crowd for the older music.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. And it's not just a little younger. I mean, it's substantially younger. People in their 20s and their 30s are about half of the audience at my 60s and 70s party.
By the way, for those of you listening to this show, if you've never been to a Felix Hernandez dance party, it's an experience. My wife and I just went to one not too long ago. It was in a church basement, several hundred people. And I think it was probably the one and only dance party I've ever been to in my life where I danced more than I didn't dance. it was fantastic, Felix.
Thank you.
It was a real, real event, a real special occasion. How many times a year do you try to have dance parties?
I'm slowing down a little bit. At my peak, I was doing about 10 a year, but those were the Roseland years when we were at Roseland Ballroom. But when they closed, I went down to about maybe six a year. During the pandemic, we didn't do too much dancing at all. We took a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back out there again and been doing about close to eight a year right now.
Right. Well, I have to say, I really did feel like I was back in college, both in terms of what I was listening to and my excitement level. So thank you for that.
Thank you. And our dance parties are now, we have three different parties. We have the one that I just mentioned, the Retro Soul, which is the older music, 60s and 70s, where you're going to see a lot of young hipsters.
Right.
And then we have the traditional Rhythm Review party, which is the mix that I pretty much have played from day one of the parties back in the 90s. There's an event really starting to pick up speed now, which is the DJ All-Stars, in which I do an introductory set, but then we have a battle of the DJs with legendary New York area DJs. And I've had Chuck Chillout, Lady D. Wells, Red Alert, Ruben Toro, Reggie Wells. I mean, we've had a lot of great DJs, and we're looking forward to really growing that particular event because it's becoming very popular, and people love to see different DJs battle it out for 4 or 5 hours. And it's a very, very exciting night.
You know, when you and I do fundraising drives together and people are sending in their pledges online, and I'm listening to the comments, reading the comments as we're doing the fundraising, begging for money, what I'm struck by is, first of all, your listeners are very diverse racially.
They are, yes. Mm-hmm.
I know people in this community where I live, Montclair, New Jersey, white and black, mm-hmm. who are longtime, committed, decades-long listeners to Felix Hernandez and R&B. And geographically, they're spread literally all over the world. During fundraising drives, we get people pledging from multiple time zones, people who are transplanted New Yorkers who left the New York area and moved to Florida or California who continue to listen to you. And I'm just struck by the depth of the commitment and loyalty to the Rhythm Review, and that it's actually a very diverse audience. And I wonder if that's been your experience for the entirety of the show.
Absolutely. And it's been my experience at the dance parties. The entire experience has been about diversity, really. My slogan for the dance parties is "United We Dance."
Right.
And I think that pretty much says it all.
Right. So that brings me to something else. You and I have done shows together where we played things with a social conscience. Some of my favorites that I've heard from on your show are things like Earth, Wind, and Fire, Open Your Eyes.
Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes.
What role do you think selections with a social message play in Rhythm Review?
It depends on what's going on out there. there was a long period where the social message songs did not really resonate. I would say it started with 9/11. After 9/11, those songs were suddenly relevant again, and people started asking me to play those songs again. But there was a long time before that where songs like "Why Can't We Live Together" just did not resonate the way...
I know what you're saying.
The way they do now.
And they have... I mean, certainly during the Vietnam War era, late 60s, early 70s, some of Marvin Gaye's music, Stevie Wonder's music, of course, after George Floyd. I think there's more of that too.
It definitely comes in waves. Post 9/11 was a very critical time for those messages. As you said today, again, with everything that's going on, those songs are really relevant. And it's amazing when you listen to them now with the lyrics. And, you know, some of these songs were written 50, 60 years ago. "People Get Ready" by Curtis Mayfield is 60 years old. I can't think of a more important statement about where we are today.
Or Unity, OJ's, for example.
Unity. We must have unity.
Or Marvin Gaye, mm-hmm. "What's Going On." They're timeless. They really are timeless.
They're timeless, absolutely.
You know, one of my favorites was the Cissy Houston version of "Midnight Train to Georgia."
Oh, yeah.
I remember the moment I first heard you play that a couple years ago. I mean, I heard "Midnight Train to Georgia" a million times growing up on WABC, 770 AM in New York.
It was a big crossover hit. It was on... black stations and it was on pop stations as well.
Correct. Right. And all of a sudden I'm hearing the same song, same lyrics, but by a different artist. I heard, I said, who is that singing? Who is that? Turns out it's Sissy Houston, Whitney Houston's mother. And you've told me that she sang that before Gladys Knight did.
She did. She did. Yes.
How did you come to that particular selection?
Well, there are a lot of those. I mean, there are a lot of songs. You'd be surprised. There are hundreds of songs that we all know that were recorded before the artists that we associate them with. Now That We Found Love by Third World was first recorded by the OJs. Again, there are hundreds of these. I could, you know, I've actually done hour-long features on songs like that. Betcha by Golly Wow was first recorded by Connie Stevens. Just Don't Want to Be Lonely was first recorded by Ronnie Dyson.
Since I Don't Have You.
Since I Don't Have You, the Skyliner song? Or Since I Fell For You, he's talking about Since I Fell For You?
Since I Fell For You, right.
Since I Fell For You, yes. Since I Fell For You. Now, that's an interesting case because that song has been recorded so many times, but we really associate, depending on how old you are, either Laura Lee in the 70s or Lenny Welch in the 60s. But that song was written by a band leader who wrote some of the most amazing songs that you'll ever hear. And that was one of them. His name was Buddy Johnson. And He recorded it with his sister, Ella. Ella was the singer. Buddy was the band leader. And they recorded it in 1946. Since I Fell For You dates all the way back to 1946. A lot of songs, you'd be surprised how old they are, how long they've been around.
Right.
You made me leave my happy home. You took my love and are you gone? Since I Fell For You.
How much of a crossover do you think there is between R&B and country and Western?
Oh, huge, especially in the early 60s when Ray Charles did his country Western albums. That's what it was called back then, country and Western. When he did the two albums where he did all the country classics, that triggered a lot of crossover country and soul. And so you had Brooke Benton doing country songs. David Ruffin did Statue of a Fool, which was a country song. Misty Blue was originally a country song by Eddie Arnold, which Dorothy Moore had a huge hit with that in the 70s, Misty Blue. There's a strong correlation between country and R&B. A lot of the lyrics are similar kinds of situations and experiences. Even the melodies and the singing styles. You can listen to a song by Dolly Parton and say, this would make a great R&B song. You know, and vice versa.
Suspicious Minds,
right. Elvis Presley and Dee Dee Warwick both recorded that song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I learned that from listening to you. Exactly. Right.
And they're both great. I mean, I love both versions of that song, but I do play the Dee Dee Warwick version, number one, because she's an R&B artist and I have an R&B show. And number two, because it is just as good, if not better, than Elvis's version, which is also spectacular.
We can go on together with suspicious minds. And we can build our dreams on suspicious minds.
So I'm going to wander into delicate ground here by asking you, do you have any favorites?
Songs or
songs or artists?
Oh, and I have so many. Oh my goodness. I one of my favorite records has always been, ever since it came out and I was a kid, because of the associations and what it reminds me of and where I was at the time and just the feel. It was my, the hunter gets captured by the game by the Marvelettes.
Things just ain't the same anytime the hunter gets captured by the game.
I don't want to date you, but what year did that come out?
That came out in 60, I believe it was 66. Now, I was 6 years old. I was a radio fiend by then. I was constantly listening to the radio. My parents would have the TV on in the living room with my little brother and sister. They'd sometimes be watching TV or not, depending on what they were doing. But I was always off in the kitchen or in another room listening to the radio. That was me. And, right. And then that record came out, and I fell in love with it. And I, to this day, love that record. But there are there are a lot of records I just can't get enough of. Like, I could play them over and over again.
How about 1970s? What about from the
1970s? That's tougher because there's just so much to choose from. I always go back to Al Green, especially You Ought to Be With Me by Al Green. Just can't get enough of that. You know, just
right.
Wonderful, wonderful music.
Sit right down and talk to me about how you want to be. You ought to be with me. Hey, you ought to be with me.
And I know Earth, Wind, and Fire is up there on your list too, isn't
Definitely.
It?
Especially the earlier albums, but I love all of it. Open My Eyes, you mentioned that song already today. I Think About Loving You, which was the second album, and that was Sherry Scott was singing at the time with the group. It was before Philip Bailey.
Well, from listening to you for years and years,
yeah.
I've gleaned your favorites. I've tried to play them on this show
based on the based on how often you heard them or
based
or
on how often I hear them.
Oh, okay. Yes. So, that's a good indicator. If I play it a lot, it probably means I like it a lot.
Yes,
right?
So my own Felix Hernandez list would include Bobby Taylor, Jerry Butler, Voices of Harlem,
yes,
Giving Love,
Bobby
Womack,
yep.
And, of course, Junior Walker, The Supremes. I love when you play Grand Central Station.
Your Love?
Yes, Your Love. That's part of our list today.
All right.
There's certain Tower Power. You're Still a Young Man. I know that's a Rhythm Review favorite.
Love that one. I just love that record.
I couldn't squeeze it into the playlist today, but because
don't worry, I'll play it.
And Let me close with this. Sometimes, I don't know whether you still do, I don't think you do this anymore, but you used to always have the same two or three closers for your show, which I have brought back for my show today. And my recollection is that you used to conclude your shows with Johnny Ace, Never Let Me Go, Miracles, You Can Depend on Me, or Jerry Butler, Thanks to You. Do I have that right or wrong?
You have it right, and you are an excellent listener. I don't think anyone else would know that.
That makes me part of your top six fan.
I think you are definitely in the top three.
Felix Hernandez, thank you so much for joining All Things Soul.
Thank you for having me, and I'll make sure I have you back on my show real soon.
Okay.